The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 58 minutes. That's if I can last. Today is a show I'm so happy to do, and I have to do a little promo here. I'm at the Taconic Communication Studio, radio, TV, and a lot of other things that go on here, which are so far over my head technologically. We're here today. It's going to be an informational show. The superintendent is with me, Superintendent Curtis. We're going to talk about many things, the budget, the reorganization of class grades and things like that. And I'm doing this for a specific reason. One, there's just so much, as me Irish mother would say out there, malarkey. And we have to hear, I want you to hear the facts right from the guy who knows the facts. I, because of my extensive social life, get to watch most of the meetings every night from my recliner. And school committee, city council. And I watched the meetings the last few times, and then I went out into the public, and I watched the meeting, and I didn't hear what I was hearing. What other people were telling me, they heard from somebody else. So, good morning, Mr. Curtis.
Good morning. Thank you for this show, the first day back from
vacation.
April vacation.
Or as we used to say, battle stations. I do want to say to the students that were here 45 minutes early to get this old guy in set up, and so I don't look like I'm having a stroke. Thank you so very much. I so appreciate it.
That's real dedication for them to be here.
Day after vacation.
The first day back. So we really appreciate them.
And you know, this studio and what they're learning here is invaluable. Whether they ever follow a career in broadcasting or not, all the other things they're learning. I'm dedicated to Taconic, so just so you know that, I'm dedicated to PHS, my alma mater. They may not be proud of it, but I am. But Joe, thank you for coming on again.
Absolutely.
In a nutshell, how would we say, why are we having the shortfalls in the budget that we're having?
Well, it's an interesting question because there's many answers to that.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many what we call budget drivers, cost increases that are not really in our control. And, you know, contractual obligations, we're estimating at $4.4 million this year for this budget.
Right.
And, you know, we've heard throughout the years the need to increase our wages, not only for our teachers, but our bus drivers, paraprofessionals, cafeteria workers, custodians. And we've done our due diligence in that. We've heard that call not only from those groups, but from our elected officials, our city councilors, our school committee members. Nevertheless, that is a huge increase from what it used to be just 4 or 5 years ago. When we would develop a budget, let's say 5 years ago, we would typically predict that our contractual obligations would be $1.2 to $1.6 million. And in this year's budget, as everyone's seen, we're estimating that to be $4.4 million.
That's a jump.
And these are wages because of the dramatic inflation rate that we're all experiencing that we needed to do to attract new employees, new staff members, new teachers, new bus drivers to the Pittsfield Public Schools, but most importantly, to retain our staff because we really value their experience and their dedication to the Pittsfield Public Schools, but recognize they need to make a living wage. So, you know, I would say that is It's certainly our largest budget driver.
Sure.
Cost increases. You know, then there is things like special education out of district tuition. You know, for our special education students that can't necessarily be serviced in the Pittsfield Public Schools, their need is too great.
Right.
We have to send them to out of district placements, and that's through the IEP process. So that's a team process, a team decision. But that alone, we're estimating, is an additional $1 million. So you can see just in these two lines of conversation, we're talking over $5 million. And then, you know, we all know that we have transportation increases, electricity increases, just like we're all experiencing in our homes. And so those are things that have really driven a higher budget this year. And then to no surprise, the inflation rate.
Right.
That the when the Chapter 70 funds were released, there was not an inflation rate increase that was reflective of the inflation rate we're experiencing in Massachusetts. So that really affected our overall budget.
And I think what you just said too, because I do not have a social life, so I do watch but Scanlon, I believe, is the city's auditors and all that. They were saying for the past several years, you got to do something about your wages.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just what you just said is so very true, that to maintain, to attract and maintain the wonderful people you have in the school system, you got to pay them. Otherwise, they'll go to wherever.
We do. And, you know, we're in an interesting location in the Berkshires because we have – typically, people like to live and work within the Berkshires.
Right.
But if pay rates are higher in surrounding towns and cities, they can easily go there.
That's right.
With a minimal travel experience every morning. So, you know, we do have to remain competitive, and we really appreciate the passion and the dedication our employees have for the Pittsfield Public Schools. It's unlike no other place in Berkshire County, but they do have to make that living wage.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the other piece is for the naysayers or the critics or whatever, check your own checkout at BJ's.
Yeah.
We used to go out once a week, and it would run $150, $160. Now it's over $200.
Oh, easily.
We're old. Not like you. But I don't vary that much on what we buy. And this is a system that's huge with a lot of demands, electricity and gasoline for buses and all that. I guess I'm kind of preaching to the choir because Mr. Curtis knows this. But I want the people to understand, especially those who are so quick to criticize, these costs are real. I come through this school a few times, and I have to tell you, all I see are people working, interacting with kiddos, and you know, I live with a retired teacher, and I have lived with her now for 53 years, and so I know the dedication her and her colleagues have put in through the years, and my thing is, you can't buy that.
You really can't. You know, when we have a dedicated staff member, no matter who they are in the Pittsfield Public Schools, we want to do everything we can to retain them and not lose them to a district that's nearby because they're paying a higher wage.
Right.
The retention rates are always something that we're examining closely. And we know that if you're an educator, you're an administrator, you're a bus driver, cafeteria worker, whatever, in the Pittsfield Public Schools, you are someone special without question.
Yeah.
And we want to retain all of our employees.
I know I've said this before on air, and I will say probably again because at my age you forget you say it and you say it anyhow. I always will be thankful for the lunch ladies at North Junior High School. They took very good care of me, and one of my favorite foods even to today is goulash, in case anybody wants to know. Joe, the other piece that seems to have started a forest fire, The restructuring of grades.
Yes. It's an interesting discussion. You know, we successfully submitted a statement of interest just before vacation that we spent roughly a year in around 12 public engagement meetings throughout the city. Yep. A school committee presentation, city council presentation. And part of that discussion in submitting a statement of interest for a new building on the west side was the restructuring of our school district. As you know, the structure of our school district has remained the same for decades. And so who each school serves and the grades that they serve has remained the same. And, you know, I would argue that it's time to evolve the structure of our school district, not only just in where you live designates where you go to school, but the actual grade spans themselves. And so we looked at many models that are in use across the state of Massachusetts. And the one that seemed to be most attractive was pre-K to one, having a school that was dedicated solely for pre-K to one,
wow,
2 to 4, in another school, and then having a different middle school model. Middle school has traditionally been our most challenging years in the Pittsfield Public Schools. And if you talk to superintendents and principals across the state, I think they would feel the same. So we'd like to possibly approach middle school in a different way and have a grade 5-6 school where all children in the city would go to that one school for grades 5 and 6,
okay,
and then a 7-8 school. That would really, again, all children in the city of Pittsfield would go to that school, and we would hope to build programming that would introduce our career and vocational paths that they could experience in high school. Right now, as you know, Ms. Gage plans a number of events, really starting in sixth grade to expose our students to all the career possibilities we offer. But we'd like to kind of build, I'll put that in quotes, a grade 7 and 8 school where they'd actually get to experience some of these career paths.
Sure,
you know, when we went to junior high school,
right,
it was called home economics and wood shop, metal shop.
Mr. GNA taught me wood.
And those were opportunities we got to experience in our junior high schools. And,
that's right.
You know, in the 2000s, it was kind of seen as we'll take all of those experiences out when we remodeled the middle schools, and we'll replace them all with technology offerings. And that's what happened. And that was hindsight is always 2020, but
yes,
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And we all agree with that now. And so to bring those experiences back to grade 7 and 8 and to really give our kids an opportunity to see all of the careers that are the opportunities that are out there and what will be offered at Pittsfield High School and Taconic, I think it's just a win-win situation.
Well, before I forget, which, you know, at my age now is frequently –
I forget all the time too.
Well, where do you
I have
get
to write everything down. That's why I have this iPad in front of me.
Me too. This is the only thing I really know how to run. So, but I do think to what you're saying, and we're going to do a show on this with and the superintendent just named assistant deputy superintendent. I don't know, she got a title.
Assistant superintendent.
Yeah.
Of college and career readiness.
That's what I said. Superintendent that long. She got a trailer truck, not a business card. But the Tammy Gage, and I will say this: I've known Tammy a long time, and the transformation that this woman has done for vocational technical career education is phenomenal. I am going to sing her praises because she's done it not always a straight path, not always an easy path, but she's done it. And I have to, Bishop here, I think every so often the planets align, and those two are, they align to deliver such a wonderful vocational programs. Technical and all the other.
Well, we're sitting right in a studio as evidence of that, right? This did not exist.
Yeah.
What, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Didn't exist. It was an empty room. And at that time, Superintendent McCandless really had no intention of having this program.
Right.
Mr. Choquette and Mr. Bishop really saw, along with Miss Gage, an opportunity.
Oh yeah,
like no other, and we're sitting right in the studio as witness to their cooperation and their work.
Well, now that I'm throwing out data boys and data girls, Mr. Choquette, I don't. He's worth my weight in gold. His background, his technique, but his overall delivery of the services, delivery of the education, is, in my opinion, outstanding. And folks, you know, it's easy to criticize, but you're not here.
Yeah.
I'll just go astray for a minute. When I managed a violent youthful offender program, almost every one of them had an IEP. And that's kind of a reflection of kind of today. And all I'm saying is, before you criticize, get the facts, and don't get the facts from the guy in the coffee shop, you know, or the guy at the next stool next to you. That's why I'm doing these programs, and I'll continue to do them. I'm going to work through the superintendent's office. I'm going to have both principals on, PHS and Taconic, again, for Taconic, and Miss Gage, because it's important you hear it right from the people who are doing it.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thrust of doing this.
It is really important. You know, and we do have a number of community members that have reached out about the budget and
really
discussed their opinions or have come to the meetings themselves or have watched. And we really appreciate that. We've given ample opportunity for anybody to ask those questions.
Yes.
We'll be inviting our city councilors for individual meetings if they'd like, May 1st through the 10th. And so those invitations will go out today, and that'll give them an opportunity to really sit down with us, the chair of the school committee, Assistant Superintendent Benke, and myself, to raise concerns or ask questions and really get as much information before we appear before the city council, typically in late May.
I will be probably approaching the city council for funds to construct a statue of Kristen Benke in Park Square. And the superintendent will tell you why. She, through her diligence and her commitment to this school district, found and then saved.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously, when we received the initial Chapter 70 release, it was a dramatic, over $6 million decrease in Chapter 70 funds as compared to last year. So we were, I will say, absolutely shocked.
I'll bet.
When she walked into my office and gave me the number, really, I think the color just escaped right on my face because it was such a dramatic decrease. And as she began to research why, she found what we call a technical error and started working with DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, to rectify that area. I will say that State Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, Mayor Marchetti, all worked through their channels to persuade DESE to acknowledge the technical error. And they did so, and they rectified it in the House and Ways Means budget that was released just before vacation. So we're predicted to get another $2.4 million, which will certainly reduce the cuts that we proposed in those initial budget meetings. Now, our school committee provided a good amount of feedback at the last meeting just before vacation.
They did.
We do have some meetings today with Mayor Marchetti to discuss the budget, and then we'll be bringing a refined proposal on Thursday of this week. The school committee meeting is on Thursday.
Okay.
And so hopefully our entire public knows that they want to watch. It will be held on Thursday at 6 o'clock. We'll be meeting at City Hall, and that's due to the Jewish holiday that's occurring this week. And so we hope to have a budget passed by the school committee this Thursday. But again, because there has been so much deliberation,
sure,
that might be delayed and hopefully rectified soon thereafter. We'll see.
And I think while that may be to some, you know, a negative, it really isn't. To me, the school committee going through the steps they've gone through, and I've watched the meetings, and now Thursday coming up, that shows me they are doing their elected duties.
Absolutely.
In a very conscientious way, not a rubber stamp. If I hear that one more time, I'll be different.
Yeah, I have to also reinforce what you just said, because the entire budget process is designed to give the school committee multiple opportunities to discuss the budget, make suggestions, make recommendations. And ultimately on Thursday, they could make motions to change the budget. So when we bring forth a budget proposal, and that's important, it's a proposal, we want the school committee to deliberate using their experience, using feedback from community members to suggest, maybe even insist on budget adjustments. Sure. And so we've done that throughout the process. And so we want to be very careful with those that say it's a rubber stamp. It is truly not. There's been deliberation in public. There's been deliberation one-to-one with our school committee members. And they have been very actively engaged in the process.
Yeah. Again, watching it, you can see that. The questions are well formulated, and they're seeking information. They're seeking so that if they have to defend their vote, they can do that. And a compliment to you, going back to your predecessor, Dr. McCandless, and even Dr. Eberwein. And I've said this before. This is an organization that doesn't knee-jerk. When they, I'm always amazed. When you go before the school committee or the city council, you go before it with data. How unique. I watch Congress, too, and they don't have any data. They just babble. But but seriously, we should feel good as citizens, because we're going to talk about Crosby in a minute. And that just wasn't a whim.
No.
I mean, that's been well thought out, well examined. I'll tell you how old Crosby is. We went there as PHS.
Yeah.
In case you didn't notice, I'm not a kid. But we have to understand that there are things that none of us want. Nobody wants to lose it. My wife lost her job at Proposition 2.5. I was told I was going to lose my job. But nobody wants people to lose their jobs.
No.
But we also have to deal in reality, and we have to understand, and the superintendent can correct me, but a lot of the things and the people that are hired today that weren't hired when you even started, these are mandates coming out of Boston, reporting mandates. They don't have nothing to do with education, in my opinion. And of course, everybody.
Others might argue differently at the state level.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They ought to get in the classroom. I shouldn't have said that. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, the Mayor Tyre and the City of Pittsfield, Peter White and the City Council, and/or the guys driving, trying to look for the ice so they can go ice fishing on Pontusic Lake. It's really true. I don't want to put you on the spot, so I'm not, but my thing, what is the value of all this reporting? Is it to justify their job? Because I guess I don't see where it blends into teaching. Like a lot of my violent youthful offenders, they were just misguided kids. They had their homes. They didn't have some good home life. Some of them were just misguided. They had tougher older brothers, and then they got labeled.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because I've had the honor of being here since 1994.
Yeah.
So this is 30 years. And not only seeing how the city has evolved but the school system and the requirements from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, which are vast and really truly didn't exist
I know.
In 1994. And so, you know, when you go to DESE's accountability website, you can see just mountains of data there. And, you know, data is fantastic for making decisions, but they now collect data on everything. And there are requirements, even when I was a principal of Morningside Community School, that didn't exist then that exists right. now. And we were having a really good conversation with some elected officials recently and really talking about
yeah.
how the role of a school administrator has changed so dramatically even since I was a principal.
Yeah.
And I recently had a conversation with Principal Shepherdson over at Morningside, and we were talking through some items for discussion. And I found even my consult as a person who loved Morningside and still does, but loved being its principal, right. Not relevant anymore. Things have changed so much
yeah.
even since my time as principal there. That I was kind of tongue-twisted, if you will, and
yeah.
giving her some advice on how to move things forward. And so everybody has to realize that a school administrator now is not like when we went to school.
Right.
Right? You know, right. I think I had an assistant principal on my floor as high school. They'd call you down once in a while. Maybe they spoke to you because you did something wrong in class. And then you were sent back. It's very different now. The needs of our students and families have increased
yes.
dramatically. And the mandates, as you were saying earlier, yeah. on teacher evaluation and reporting is like yeah. nothing in the past. So an administrator of today is not what we remember from long ago.
No, and I it's just me, and I'll admit I don't have the background in education. But I have the background in other things. Well, we used to collect data. And quick war story. They would bring my data in once on Mondays in a laundry cart. And I said, what do you want me to do with all this? They said, well, you should go through it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Not in this lifetime. Yeah. I have a job to do, too.
Yeah.
To collect data, just to collect data, to me is, well, it doesn't make any difference. I do want to say, too, though, that and I've said this before, so Joe, Mr. Curtis won't come out. I think we need to look at the law that says we have to have a seat on every bus for every kid who's eligible for a bus ride. Because if you don't believe me, go in front of any school in the city of Pittsfield at closing time or in the morning. And you see a lot of kids are chauffeured, and the reason I say that is not to lose bus drivers, but to shrink buses.
Mm.
You got a huge bus and with three kids on it.
Yeah. We do. You know, we send out a form every yep. summer for families that will never use the train, that are eligible according to policy.
Yeah.
But don't anticipate using the transportation at all. So we send out a form to ask them to indicate that to us. Mm. Because not only the bus sizes themselves,
yeah.
the vehicle size, but the routes
yeah.
can be shortened.
Very good.
And students can yeah. have shorter bus trips in the morning and the afternoon if we know which students yes. will never ride the bus. So we send that out. I think last summer we received 140,
wow.
what we call opt-outs.
Wow.
But we know, and then Ms. O'Brien, the director of bus operations, she asks the bus drivers to kind of survey the buses, too, to see
yeah.
who's not riding. They do outreach as well. But we always look to our families. If they don't anticipate, as you know, the number of
right.
Students who are driven to school is unprecedented,
right.
As compared to, again, my 30 years ago time as a teacher. Unprecedented now.
We only got about a minute before the break, but I always make the joke when I'm driving with a Polish princess there. Look, if they could, they'd drive right up onto the grass at PHS so the kid wouldn't have to walk so far. You know, we were just talking the other night. We used to walk from the Girls Club on Friday night, the Girls Club dance, all the way to the north end on Wakona Street,
yeah.
right? And But anyhow, I'm old. And
that doesn't happen much anymore.
No. Well, I'm here today. This is Joe Curtis. He is the superintendent of the Pittsfield school system. We're going to do these shows, not just with Joe, but with a whole bunch of other folks, so that you get to understand where your tax dollars are going. And my thing is to dispel misinformation. Oh, God, I hate to use that word but misinformation or just wrong information. So we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types. Once you're eligible for fuel assistance, you're also eligible for a discount on your electric bill. Go to bcacinc.org for more information.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Do you need mental health or addiction services today? MassHealth clients in crisis now have access to same-day treatment at the Breen Center's new Community Behavioral Health Center. Quicker access to urgent and routine mental health and addiction services. Please call 800-252-0227 for more information or visit our website at breencenter.org. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Today, it is my honor and privilege to have with me the superintendent of Pittsfield School System. His name is Joe Curtis. I did counsel him prior to taking the job. You know, the deputy job wasn't that bad. But seriously, we're here talking about serious things. There's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, whatever, about the budget. I watched the program, with the city council, with the school department. I want you to hear it from the voice, not from the guy or gal in the coffee shop or whatever. There's a lot of talk about closing schools. Mm. You want to address that?
Well, quite honestly, we were in the beginning of the budget process, certainly before we received the news of the $2.4 million additional,
right,
with the technical error. We were discussing closing a school. And, you know, doing that process, obviously a school is the center of a neighborhood, is a gathering place, It's a place where students not only receive their education, but they participate in community events and et cetera. So closing a school is a very difficult process. And we were nervous that we might have to close a school to make our budget target, if you
will.
And the later that happens within a calendar year for the next school year, I would say the more detrimental it is to not only the students, the staff, the families. So we don't have to do that at this point. I want to be clear, though, that closing a school, because we were behind the scenes planning for it, does not save the kind of money that one thinks. And so when a school is closed, people envision, you know, $4, $5, or $6 million is saved. But we have to remember that those students that attend that school that is being closed, they're going to all the other schools within the city. They need services. They need intervention. They need school adjustment counselors.
Transportation.
They need transportation. Absolutely. We were just talking about that. And so the amount of savings is really minimal.
Yeah.
And you know, we were considering for closure two schools, two of the non-renovated schools, to be quite honest and transparent. That was Crosby Elementary and Morningside Community School. That's the first time I've said that in public.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a heavier eye on Morningside. But in the end, to have to relocate 400 children to other locations in the city who need those reading services and need special education services, school adjustment counselor services, and the transportation. In the end, it wouldn't have realized the type of savings that many in the in the community think. Now, that's very different than what we just talked about earlier, the restructuring.
Right.
Where we anticipate with the opening of the new building on the West Side campus, if that process plays through, that at the same time we'd open that school, we would have a restructuring of the entire district all at once. So the whole community would be participating in the restructuring along with the opening of a new building. That's very different than closing one school and dispersing, and I hate to even say that word about children. 400 children throughout the city. And so
very disruptive.
Very disruptive.
For them and the family. I mean, I'm not even looking at the school stuff. I'm thinking of myself when my kiddo is in. If you said, well, he, you know, he's got to go now to Crosby or whatever. I applaud you for that. And I applaud you for your candor.
And I was transparent with the school committee in talking about this, not to the level of detail we are this morning, but that if we did have to close a school, there it would be very problematic.
Yes.
We'd have very many, many upset students, staff, and family members. And we would not do it with the diligence and respect that we would if we were carrying out a thoughtful plan. Because as we were discussing earlier, it would be rushed. Communication, although would be prevalent, not everyone would receive it.
Right.
And so we would have a situation that would certainly not live to the spirit of the Pittsfield Public Schools if we were forced to do it.
Right.
And so I was transparent, saying you will receive many complaints, you will have many upset people, because we will not be able to do it as we should be able to do it in this time frame. It just can't occur.
And thanks to Kristen Behnke, of which I will be petitioning the city council for funds to put a statue of her in Park Square. Yeah. But seriously, just for those that are just joining us, we talked about a lot of things earlier this morning, and I just want to recap very quickly. We talked about the budget and all the things that are kind of misstated in the public. That's why I have Mr. Curtis on. We are going to be doing a series of these shows with other superintendents, deputy superintendents, just to let people know what's going on, and principals. The other piece is the federal money for the adjustment counselors that were sent back in during COVID. What's the gig on
You know, that's ESSER, what we call ESSER, Every Student Succeeds. And there was a large amount of federal money that came to the Pittsfield Public Schools during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we were able to hire an abundance of staff to support our students in recovery
from
the pandemic. So, you know, they were academic interventionists, literacy coaches to assist our teachers in student reading recovery, the school adjustment counselors. We had, I believe, 8 on ESSER money.
Wow.
And so, you know, unfortunately, although the pandemic is over and the masks are removed
right.
and the isolation and quarantine guidelines have been changed, the effects of the pandemic are still real. I would argue the mental health impact of the pandemic for some of our students is dramatic, and our families.
Yeah.
They still haven't recovered to what we call pre-pandemic levels. So we still have a lot of hard and diligent work to do in the Pittsfield Public Schools. Unfortunately, the ESSER money is over at the end of this year. So that that the ending of that money, we had about 44 positions on ESSER, and the dramatic budget reduction to Chapter 70 funds, all happening in the same year, has really created what I call a perfect storm of a budget situation. Although we did certainly know the ESSER money was ending.
Right.
We did not envision this dramatic reduction in Chapter 70 funds because of a complex formula that you and I probably never could understand.
Yeah.
But the numbers are given to us on a spreadsheet via email. So, you know, I think what people are seeing as a loss with those ESSER positions, that's true. But it wasn't because of a budget reduction. It was because of the ending of federal dollars that we knew about right from the start. You know, and it's important to note that we could only spend those federal dollars on specific things.
Yeah.
And so many people, you know, have commented, I've seen it, well, why did you hire all those people? Well, we had to. We did it for specific reasons to help our students and families. And that's what the money was for. I mean, in theory, I guess we could have used none of it and returned it all. But who would do that? Because we had opportunities.
And who would suffer?
Right.
The students.
That's right. You know, and the students wouldn't get the services or families that all of those ESSER dollars provide. And a lot of them were simply when we reopened, too.
Well,
we had to buy tents and chairs and desks and masks, you know, millions of dollars in supplies to reopen. You know, if we remember, we had that half-day schedule.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted desperately to return to in-person learning. That was a substantial investment with those ESSER funds. And thankfully, we had them.
And I just an aside, you know, I watched Matt Curwood, the treasurer, you know, get up and explain to, well, everybody, I guess, yes, it's $1 billion worth of federal money, but there's so many strings to it. No, we can't put new sidewalks in your thing.
Right.
It's only for X. No, we can't. It's only for Y. Being familiar with federal budgets and federal government, that's the state affair. I mean, they're going to give you the money, but they have so many and do not vary. From what they tell you.
You can't, because then you'll lose the money.
That's
so
exactly right.
There are a lot of positions, even in the central office, particularly in the curriculum department, that are solely funded by grant funds, that are not the local taxpayer doesn't pay their salary or their benefits. And we can use those funds specifically on teacher professional development or additional assistance for our high-need schools. The dollars that fund those positions can't be used, let's say, for a classroom teacher.
Right.
But, you know, most people don't know that
unless
they ask. And if they ask, we're happy, we're transparent, we're happy to inform them. But the money that comes from federal or state grants, it's very specific in what it can be used for. And it cannot be used for anything that we desire or the taxpayer desires. And if we did do that by some chance, it would be taken away from us during an audit.
And you could get a heavy fine.
Absolutely. And in other DESE, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, punitive actions.
Just more reports.
More reports to answer, yes.
We got to hire four people to do accounting reports weekly, daily.
Yeah, and these things are not optional. Like, there are people in our community, and I understand that.
Yeah.
They think that we're doing work to do work, but I can surely say to everyone, we don't do any work that's not required from the Department of Elementary Education. The local work that we do to improve the experience of our students and families is what we do well. The reporting and the mandates, we have to do. There's no choice in that.
Earlier in the show, I do want to just go back because I am glad you're talking to politicians because I have spoken to them about the bus thing, why do you need this? Yeah. What will be the educational value of you, DESE, having this information? To date, I haven't gotten an answer to that.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting – I shared at our last budget meeting – an article related to the Brockton Public Schools. And this is searchable and anybody can find it. It's in the budget presentation. And Brockton Public Schools was a high-performing district before the pandemic, roughly 2017. They were reducing student achievement gaps and then doing it well. Then they started to face some budget constraints. And they started to eliminate positions in order to preserve classroom teacher positions, which makes complete sense,
right?
To the average community member, right? The classroom teacher is who their child interacts with every day, maybe the school principal. And so there's a perception that what is anyone else needed for? And so Brockton Public Schools followed that kind of mode of operation, and they started to get rid of instructional supports and school administrators and central office administrators, and their performance started to decline rapidly.
Yeah.
And the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education actually did a study on Brockton and found that one of the largest reasons for the decline in their performance was that they eliminated many of the instructional supports, school administrators, central office administrators, in order to preserve classroom teacher positions. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to the community member, right? Because the classroom teacher is the most impactful to their child. But classroom teachers need these supports to be successful. It's a very different picture than it was 30 years ago.
Interestingly enough, and I won't get into my, but I'm doing a chapter for a book, and I just had part of it was support for the front line, right? Well, I'll send it to you because it is amazing. Yes, the classroom teacher is delivering, but it's the support getting to that classroom teacher that permits, allows, and mandates that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so critical, and I understand why most of the community feels that's the most important position, and I'm not going to argue with that perception,
me either.
Right? It makes sense. Your wife was a classroom teacher.
Yes, she was.
You know what she delivered and how she engaged with her students every day, the love she conveyed.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, but now I realize, as I've grown with the Pittsfield Public Schools and just gotten older, much older, that there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes give me the textbooks and the resources I needed, to give me the support I needed with some of my students.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people doing that work so I could focus on teaching, right? And, you know, did I know that when I was 21 years old? No. Right? But there's the one-room schoolhouse that Pittsfield had still exists. What is right. that on South Mountain Road, I think. And that's a very different time, right? There was probably one teacher in there, probably 50 kids in that building.
Absolutely.
Very, very different time.
I went to St. Charles. We had 54 or 57 kids in my first grade class, one nun.
Yeah.
But she was armed. She had a pointer. Again, just to kind of reiterate, the morning show, people are going in and coming out and putting the kids on the bus, back to school, kids. Parents, school started again. But all kidding aside, there's, I guess what bothers me, Mr. Curtis, is this. People who simplify so very complicated things.
Yeah.
What you just said, the teacher, oh, they should need teachers. They don't want all these other people. Well, who do you think orders all this stuff?
Right. Yeah.
But we don't. I don't want to waste the time. We'll do another show.
We can definitely do another show.
There's a great deal of chitter chatter about replacing Crosby. Can you quickly update us?
So, you know, we have submitted a statement of interest the Wednesday before vacation, and that would replace Crosby and Sylvia Oconte Community School with a brand new building on the West Side campus where Crosby is located. And we're proposing at this point in the study that we have a pre-K to one school
yes.
on one side and a 2-4 on the other.
Perfect.
Kind of a unified campus. It would be the model for our city if it goes through.
Okay.
And something that we'd like to evolve the Pittsfield Public Schools to. That'll be way past my time. But we have projected out roughly 25 years into the future.
Oh,
where yeah. Let me see. Yeah, I won't be the superintendent, but yeah. hopefully
I won't even be here.
Hopefully I'm still here, yeah, right? Yeah. But with the goal of having elementary campuses throughout the city that would have two schools on each campus. And so that's certainly an aspiration, but it's yeah. looking into the future. We're very excited that the West Side campus will be the model campus for the city. And, you know, as our elected officials experienced walking through Crosby and Sylvia Oconte yeah. Community School, it's time.
Oh,
right. Yeah. We you know, and I was so thrilled to be supported by the city council unanimously as well in the building project, right?
Yeah.
They
well,
really
I think
saw,
people realize.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let me just say this too for the listeners and the viewers. Folks, I don't like to pay taxes either, and I'm probably in a lot more difficult a position than you are. The Polish princess and I used to be at a fixed income. Now we're on a shrinking income.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you really love hot dogs, but all kidding aside, my father said to me, be a role model for your children and ensure they get the best education they can get. So if I have to give up hot dogs, then I'll give up hot dogs so that we can continue what we're doing here. And I just really want people before they – what's the old saying? Engage brain before mouth or something like that. Before you just blurt out something without facts, call the superintendent's office because there are people there that are in this school system, Rose, Blake, Bev, Gantz, that have been here and – have seen this evolution, and I don't know if it's an evolution. I mean, there's a lot of new things nailed in, but how do they benefit education?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a good question from one of our elected officials. You know, how will a new building
right.
improve test scores? And I actually provided a bit of research on how it actually does, and there's many reasons that it will. As there's many residents right now that drive up to Crosby, look at the facility and say, I'm not sending my child
That's
there.
Right.
I'm going to school choice them to other yeah. locations within the county. The same thing happens at Conte Community School. They don't yeah. want their child to go to a school with no walls. And so
yeah.
the more we can retain all of our children at our school locations, the better our test scores will be. And there's a number, you know, there's so yeah. much time that a principal spends right now at both Crosby and Conte in maintaining the physical plant because there's so many problems with it. They shouldn't be spending any time maintaining the physical plant at all. Shouldn't even think about it. They shouldn't have to worry that classrooms are 80 and 90 degrees or have no heat at all or relocate classrooms so they can you know, have some heat during the winter. They shouldn't have to do any of that. And so it's definitely time for the West Side.
You know, we got about 8 minutes left. I just want to, 8 and a half. Besides funding, what are some of the other issues that are being addressed or have to be addressed within the district?
You know, I think, and we've talked about this, the need to change our middle school model is real. And I would argue that we have to accelerate that plan before the entire restructuring grade spans take place. And so, you know, once our statement of interest we're hoping will be accepted, our next area of focus is many public discussions about the grade spans and changing our middle school model. And every piece of data, like we were talking, academic data, school choice data, all of it says we have to change the middle school model in a quicker fashion before opening the new building.
And you know, I think to COVID, you alluded to it earlier. We're not out of the woods yet.
No.
We're not. And I mean, I can see it just in adult interaction back and forth. And we're going to lose, because of the federal funding drying up, some of the tools that were being used to get us back to normalcy.
Yeah, we did an incredible investment through ESSER funds on professional learning for all of our educators in the science of reading. You know, right now, roughly just over a half of our students in elementary school can read at grade level. That's very concerning. And you know that has – and that's a national issue too. It's a state issue. It's a national issue. And so we're really concerned about that work without the assistance of those federal funds.
Yeah, and I think too, as a whole, as even ourselves what is normalcy now? I have to reach out and ask somebody smarter than me, which is just about everybody. But the world is in flux. I mean, in kiddos, I just saw a thing the other day on television about when I was a kid. Not even you, because you know I got socks older than you are. I'm wearing them. But the duck and cover.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, we thought, well, no problem. If we have a nuclear attack, we'll get under our desk.
It wouldn't help much.
And be vaporized. Yeah. Right. But the kids today, with all the turmoil and
the social media and the phones, and
it's so much
different than what we experienced.
In closing, we got about 2 minutes. I do want to thank you for coming on. You're always candid. And, you know, you take the tough questions, and you don't slide them off like a boxer.
No.
As I said, and I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you're going to repeat yourself too. We're going to do more of these kinds of shows with the various people in the department. Social adjustment, the adjustment counselor.
School adjustment counselors.
I'm sorry. Yes. Thanks. I want to get the head of that program on. What's new? What's changed?
Yeah, she'd be great. She would be more than willing to come on.
Yeah, what's changed?
Everything.
Exactly. We got about 1 minute. I want to thank you folks for watching. I feel I can do this. If you have a direct question, call the superintendent's office. I can tell you this guy will get back to you. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe 3 in the morning. With an email, but when you get up, it'll be there.
That's true.
I do thank you, Superintendent Curtis. Thank you so much. And thank all the teachers and the principals and everybody connected, bus drivers, lunch ladies, custodians. Thank you so much. God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Think about it. In the long run, each other. That's all that we have. See you next time. Thank you, Superintendent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Taconic.
Thank you, crew.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for coming in early.